Have any of you ever gotten bad advice? No, you've never gotten bad advice. How about this? Have you ever given bad advice? Right? Like, not everybody is qualified to give advice on every given situation. But oftentimes people will give you advice, and often they'll give you advice that you did not even ask for. They just want to interject their opinion and give you advice. And I remember I had a friend who knew I was getting married, and he gave me some advice on how to have a long, happy marriage. And so I'm going to share that advice with you this morning. He told me, now, Stephen, when you get married, here's the key to being sure you have a happy life, even while you're married. And the advice was not happy wife, happy life. That wasn't the advice. How many of you have heard that advice? Happy wife, happy life. It wasn't that. His advice was this. When your wife, when your bride, is not happy with you or with the decision that you made, when you want to go fishing or you want to go hunting or you want to go do whatever it is that you want to go do, and she tells you that she doesn't want you to go, or whatever it is, he was trying to expand it as much as possible. He said, this is what you do. You say, okay, darling, I hear you. And then you do what you want anyway. Now, this guy's been divorced 5 times. Probably not the most reliable source of wisdom and advice for a happy marriage. And that's the thing. Not all advice is good advice. Not all advice is helpful. In fact, some advice is downright harmful. And so when we look at the book of Proverbs, we're really looking at a book of wisdom, a book of advice on how to navigate this life. And throughout the book of Proverbs, life is seen as really two choices. There's only two ways to live. You can either live wisely or foolishly. You can live righteously or sinfully. Those are the choices that are presented in the book of Proverbs. There's no gray area. It's black and white. You're either living wisely or you're living foolishly. And when it comes to advice that you're given, you have to be able to discern, is this good advice or is this bad advice? Is this wise or is this foolish? Is this honoring God or is this sinful? And part of that often comes down to having to discern the credibility of the person who is offering you advice. Because God uses people to share advice. He uses people to share his truth. Now, thankfully, the Word of God does give us help in discerning what is right and what is wrong, to discerning what is good and helpful and what is harmful and just bad advice. And so listen to me, or listen with me, as I read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 33. And I want you to see if you can spot the different sources of advice as we look through this passage. Starting in verse 8, the Word of God, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. For they are graceful garland to your head and pendants around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, and we will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror strikes. When terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they'll call on me, but I won't answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by the turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. The word of the Lord. People don't always give good advice, but still God uses people to share his wisdom. That's the whole idea this morning. People don't always give good advice, but still God uses people to share his truth, to share his wisdom. We can see this point in verses 8 through 19 as we look at a father's conversation with his son. Solomon's going to be having this conversation with his own son to try to guide him in this life. And then as we move into verses 20 through 33, we're going to see that there are some remarkable similarities between what the father tells his son and then what wisdom tells the town as she cries out to them. And so first, look with me, starting there in verse 8, as we look at this conversation between a father and his son. He's doing what any good father would do. He's just trying to guide his son along the path. He reminds his son, hey, don't forget what your mother has taught you. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to me, son. And so he's telling there, and he's telling them, hey, if you listen, right, it's going to be good for you. You're going to have these garlands on your head, the pendant around your neck. It's this idea of being blessed, being honored. You listen to this, it's going to go well for you. You're going to have a good life, a peaceful life, an enjoyable life. Listen. And so then he goes on and he begins to break down this instruction to him. And his main point is very simple. When sinners entice you, when the foolish want you to go their way, do not consent. We see that there in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And then the remainder of this section from 11 to 16, Solomon uses the example of greedy thieves to make his point. He says there in verse 11, if they're enticing you, come with us. Let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Let us kill them and take all their goods and fill our house with all their plunder. Let us join our resources together and then we can have everything that we could ever want by simply taking it from other people. So he's using this example of just greed, greedy thieves, to make this point. These sinners are enticing this young man with all the things that a man wants. He wants to be wealthy. He wants to feel powerful. He wants to belong to something bigger than himself. And he wants to conquer. Well, guess what? It's not wrong for, like our society tries to say, it's wrong for a guy to want to conquer. That it's wrong for a guy to want to have things and possessions and lands. That's wrong. That's not wrong in and of itself. If you're a dude, you were created by God to conquer. You were created by God to have a kingdom. But not this way. You were not created to conquer people for your own advantage. And so Solomon is urging his son, do not listen, do not consent to them. And then in verses 17 to 19, he explains why that is so important. Notice there in verse 17, listening to the fool harms you. It brings about harm to you. For in vain a net is spread in sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. they set an ambush for their own lives. And so these people, thinking that they're going to go, they're going to plunder, they're going to conquer, they're going to ambush and take all these things from these innocent people to fill their own pockets, actually, in setting an ambush for themselves, or for the others, they set an ambush for themselves. They harm themselves. It's a good thing to keep in mind. If we go the way of foolishness, if we go the way of sinners, we bring harm to ourselves. But not only that, notice also that listening to fools kills you. That if you're going to go the way of the fool, if you're going to listen to sinners, it will kill you. That it will bring the end to your life. Verse 19, such are the ways of everyone who's greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So while listening to foolish sinners brings about death and destruction and harm, following wisdom brings life and brings peace. Now Solomon, when he's talking to his son, he just uses the example of greed. That's just the example he uses. But you could use any example there and the result's the same. It's going to bring harm and destruction if you follow the way of the fool, if you follow the way of sinners. It is always better in the long run to listen to wisdom, to follow after wisdom. Doesn't matter what it is, what the situation is, it's always better in the long run to follow the advice of the wise instead of the advice of fools. Now, as we look into verses 20 through 33, what I want you to notice is how remarkably similar wisdom's call to the townspeople is to the instructions that the father gives his son. I want you to notice how similar they are to one another. As we move into verse 20 through 23, we see that wisdom here is portrayed as this lady who is calling out to people in the midst of their normal and everyday life. As they're in the markets, as they're coming into town, as they're going this way and that way, wisdom there is this beautiful lady that is calling out above the noise, in the midst of the normal rhythms of life, urging people to turn away from their foolishness and their own sinfulness. If you continue, though, in your foolishness, in your sinfulness, if you're running toward evil, then bad things are going to happen. And that's what she begins to talk about as we move into verses 23 and 24. But if you're wise, you would turn from your foolishness. You would turn from your sin. And if you turn from your sin, we see that you actually receive more wisdom. That you not only receive more wisdom, you receive the spirit of wisdom. And the words of wisdom are revealed to you and given to you. Notice there what it says in verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Wisdom is seen in Proverbs as both this human task of something you have to pursue and live by, that you should pursue and live by, but also as a divine gift that's given to you from God. In fact, as you look in verse 7 of chapter 1, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. That fools despise wisdom and they hate instruction. And so wisdom in verses 20 through 33 is now personified as a lady who's calling out to people. And so if wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord and knowledge and wisdom come from God, then it should not surprise us that when wisdom takes on the form of a person in our passage, that they actually use the words of God. And so when we look there, Notice how it says in verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. In Joel 2:28, this is prophesied, and it's actually fulfilled in Acts in chapter 2, verse 17. It states that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And not only that, in 1 Peter, we read that in Jesus Christ, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. In other words, we have the word of God himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the ultimate personification of wisdom right before our eyes. And so to turn from foolishness is to turn toward wisdom. And wisdom is only found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want you to notice what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Did you catch what that said? That Jesus Christ became to us the wisdom that is from God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. To know Christ is to know wisdom. To follow Christ is to follow after the way of wisdom. And following Christ begins with a turning away. In Mark in chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The word repent just simply means to turn away. So often we think that the word repent means, "Father, forgive me for I have sinned." That's not repentance, that's confession. Repentance is turning away from sin, turning away from foolishness. And if you're going to turn away from sin, you have to turn toward God. Sometimes we want to turn from one sin to another sin, as it's straight out sins. But we're called to turn away from foolishness and to turn toward Christ. And so it begins with this turning away. So if you turn at his rebuke, dear sinner, his spirit will be poured out upon you. And not only will his spirit be poured out upon you, he will reveal his word to you. He will make his word bear fruit in your life. He will strengthen you in your faith. He will grow you in his grace to the point that you will have a peaceful life, an enjoyable life. It doesn't mean nothing bad's going to happen, but you're going to have a contentment and a peace that can never be taken away from you, no matter what this life might throw at you. How similar that is to what we read there in verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. However, if you reject wisdom's counsel, if you reject the call, then it will not go well for you. Terror will strike you. You will be in despair. You will be in anguish. Bad things will come upon you, and it will be your own fault. Notice what we see there. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, stretch out my hand, no one is heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and have none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes. Notice, it's not saying if calamity comes, if terror strikes, if you have anguish and despair. It says when. And so if you spurn the word of God, reject God, you hear his word, you hear his call, and you throw it out by the wayside, you can expect that you're going to have troubles of your own making that happen. as a result of your foolish living. And perhaps the worst part about it is not that you're going to have troubles on your own making, but of God's response. I want you to notice what's going to happen. You're going to be mocked, ridiculed, and laughed at by God Himself. We don't think about God like that, do we, sometimes? We don't think about that. God doesn't. We don't picture God as someone who mocks people. But He does. In fact, we see right here, that's exactly what's going to happen. Because people have rejected His word and hated His reproof, because they refused to listen to Him and heed His instruction, they ignored His counsel and would have none of His correction. Verse 26, read what it says. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, you will be mocked by God. Many people, they refuse to follow God's ways, and then they are surprised when it turns out bad. They're surprised when trouble comes. People run around fornicating, and then they're surprised when they get an STD. People run around fornicating. They're surprised when they have an unplanned pregnancy. People run around and they are addicted to illegal substances or maybe even alcohol, and they're surprised that one little hit, one little drink sends them into a week-long bender. People are surprised when their burst of anger and frustration ends up to them not having a whole lot of friends or end up in jail. People are surprised when the constant gossiping and busybodying of themselves makes it where people don't want to be around them or confide in them. All because that's really annoying, honestly. Nobody wants to be around a gossip. Nobody wants to be around a busybody that worries about other people, doesn't take care of their own selves. And yet they're surprised when they fall into trouble. And yet all of it's the result of them ignoring the counsel of God. God's laws are not meant to be burdensome. They're meant to be a delight. God's given us His law not because He wants to inhibit us or restrict us, but because He wants us to flourish. God's laws are good, and they lead to our flourishing, and they lead to a blessed life. Even if you're not a Christian, God in His grace, if you live according to His law, you're not going to get to heaven that way, but you are going to have a better life than somebody who lives according to foolishness and just completely ignores God's law. God is just gracious that way. It's amazing how gracious God is. But if you continually reject the word of God, if you continually just cast His word aside, you should not be surprised when trouble comes. And when it comes, you'd be like, oh, you see what you did? See, I told you so. I told you this is what was going to happen. He's going to mock you. He's going to laugh at you. And perhaps the even worse part is that when people find themselves in some sort of trouble, what do they tend to do? When people find themselves in some sort of issue, they're facing legal troubles as a result of their own sin. What do they end up doing? Well, then, finally, they go to God. Father, help me out of this. Help me. I need some help. I can't go to jail. Man, help me out of this. All my friends, they're deserting me. All these things. Man, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs because I haven't been a good steward of what you have given me. Father, just help me out of this mess. Help me to get out of this. Notice what God says. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently and will not find me. When people find themselves in some sort of trouble or conflict as a result of their own rejection of sin, they very quickly go to social media and say, look, hey, we need some prayers for this situation. They very quickly begin to start coming to church again, begin even tithing large amounts. trying to bribe God to act. And yet, God's answer is not exactly what we would expect. God basically says, you made your bed, go sleep in it. We don't picture God like that a lot. And yet, that's what we see here. You made your bed, go sleep in it. They will call upon me, I will not answer. They'll seek me, and I will not find. They will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Would have none of my counsel, despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. In other words, you made your bed, sleep in it. We cannot reject the word of God and reject Christ, reject his wisdom and his instruction, and then assume that when everything hits the fan, that God will answer in such a way that he will deliver us from all the troubles of our own making. Sometimes he does, just because he's kind. But sometimes, out of his love, he says, no, you're going to have to go through this because you caused this. That doesn't sound very kind, but sometimes it's the most loving, kind thing you can do. Think about with your children. You cannot bail them out every single time and think that they're going to figure out how to be responsible adults. That's why we have so many children that are 50 years old. Because parents bail them out all the time and never let them face the consequences of their actions. Never let them face justice. God's a good father, and he's going to let his people and even sinners experience the result and the consequences of their own making. Thankfully, the eternal consequences have already been paid for, right? We're forgiven. But sometimes we do things and we have to go through those consequences now and in this life. And that's good, because it reminds us that there is justice, that God is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy. Well, such is the way of the wicked and the foolish that reject his wisdom. They go into all sorts of despair and anguish. They say, we're enlightened. We have no need for religion. We have evolved beyond the need for God. So I don't need some fairy tale to give me hope. The wise of this world, they're killed by their turning away from God. The simple are killed by their turning away, the Bible says in verse 32. Or you have those that say, my life is good. I have no need of God. God can't do anything for me. I have everything I need. I'm a self-made man. I do what I want. I see what I want. I take what I want. I have what I want. I have no need for God, no need to learn. I'm a pretty good person as it is. That complacent attitude leads to death. Verse 32, the complacency of fools destroys them. If you turn away from God's wisdom, if you're complacent in the tomfoolery of this age, then it will result in your destruction. It will result in harm. It will result in death. But if you listen to the words of wisdom, if you listen to the Lord and faithfully follow him, you will have peace without despair, without fear of disaster, because you have been given a gift that is greater than anything death could ever take away from you. And that is eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, when you see these two instructions, granted, the Father's instructions were more to the point than Lady Wisdom's, I want you to notice how similar they are to one another. Both are urging people the same thing, instructing them the same thing. Walk in the way of wisdom. Don't follow the way of folly and of foolishness and sinners, because it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to harm. It's going to lead to destruction and despair. And they both also urge people to live in wisdom, because it's going to lead to an enjoyable and peaceful life. But I think there's an important thing we need to think about here. Wisdom was calling out to the Son through the Father. You see how similar their statements were? Wisdom is calling out to the Son through the words of the Father. In other words, God uses people to share his word and his truth. He uses people to share wisdom. God calls out to people through other people as they prayerfully share the words of truth. The Father was just doing what good fathers do, trying to help his Son live a decent life and to go the way of wisdom. And so God here spoke through the Father to share the words of truth to this Son. Do you know what my primary responsibility is as a pastor? It's not to be a religious service provider, though I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to officiate funerals and weddings and pray for you and things like that. Those are important things, but that's not my primary responsibility. It's one of them, but it's not my primary responsibility. According to the Bible, my primary responsibility is to equip you for the work of the ministry. That means my primary responsibility is partly the ministry, but ultimately it is to equip each one of you for the work of the ministry. In other words, ministry is not just done up here behind a pulpit. In fact, I could never do the ministry of the church by myself. Ministry belongs to all of you. Now, what is ministry? Because if you're a minister, if you're a Christian, you're a minister. And so what is ministry? Ministry is simply this: prayerfully sharing the word of truth in hopes that God will cause it to bear fruit in other people's lives. That's all ministry is. And it's done in a thousand different ways, not just from behind a pulpit. It's done when you're praying with your child before bed. It's done when you're simply sharing biblical truth. Whether you quote scripture and verse or not, if you're sharing the truth of God's word, that's ministry. Whether you're just having a spiritual conversation with a friend over a meal or coffee or whatever it is, just having that spiritual conversation. When you shoot a text to somebody, hey, praying for you, here's a scripture verse, that's ministry. Arriving early and staying late after services, catching up with one another, sharing God's truth, talking about how the Lord's been working in your life. Guess what? That's ministry. In other words, just like the Father was sharing with the Son, we share with one another the truth of God's word. That is ministry, because God uses people to share his truth, his wisdom with one another. And so here we have a father and a son, and they're just talking about life. The father was doing what any good father would do, simply trying to encourage his son to make good choices. Isn't that what a parent wants? Their child to grow up and make good choices and live a better life than even you've lived? That's what any parent wants. So he encourages his son, hey, turn from sin, turn from foolishness, follow the way of wisdom. And when we examine the call of wisdom there in verses 20 through 33, we see that the father's words are remarkably similar to the call of wisdom. In other words, the father is doing more than just having a conversation with his boy. He's doing more than just trying to encourage his son to make good choices. What he's doing is he's ministering to his son, sharing God's truth with his son. God shared his truth with the boy through the words of the boy's dad. Whenever you share God's truth, you are being a mouthpiece by God to impart wisdom and knowledge to other people. And the father's advice, it was really good advice. It wasn't bad advice, right? He wasn't just saying, hey, here's what you do. I just don't do any of it. He's not saying, hey, listen to what I say, not what I do. He's saying, no, this is what I'm striving to do, and this is what I want you to do too. He's giving good advice. But how do we know it's good advice? Because we think it sounds good? No. Because it matches up with the Word of God. It is remarkably similar to what the call of wisdom, wisdom personified, spoke to us. It is remarkably similar. In other words, the Father was just sharing the truth of God's word. In other words, good advice comes from people who are used by God to share God's truth with you. That's where good advice comes from. So who do I listen to? You listen to whoever is honest with you according to the word of God. Whoever is sharing God's word with you. That's how we figure out who to listen to. That's how we discern what is right and what is good, what is wise and what is foolish, by listening to whoever it is that is sharing the truth of God's word with you. Good advice comes from people who are used by God to share God's truth with you. And by God's grace, He can use you to share truth with others too. And that is an amazing thing, that God in His kindness would use us to share the words of truth with other people. Father God, we come to You, Lord, and we thank You for Your word. We ask, Father, that You would help us as we study Your word and as we live Your word, that You would help us to know right from wrong. And Father, that You would help us to grow in wisdom, and we know that wisdom only comes through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, would You help us to faithfully follow after Christ, knowing that to know Christ is to know wisdom, and to follow Christ is to live wisely. Father, we can't do this on our own. We need Your Spirit to help us. And so in faith, we come before You now, asking You to help us as we not only seek to live according to the wisdom of Your word, but also as we seek to minister to one another, sharing the wisdom of Your word with them. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.